the moment when my boss started to act inappropriate towards me was the moment when I shut myself. Modeling is not a true job. Most of the models who has their career, they do side hustles,
fail.
I failed so many times. I wasn't the best model. I didn't win the Miss Pageant beauty contest. I've lost so many times. I know what the failure is. I smell it, I felt it. And it's so convenient to say, the guy needs to pay. The guy needs to be taken care of. The guy needs to do this and he needs to be successful. What about you? What is your input?
Is war coming to Poland?
Are you asking me?
I am asking you.
No. I know a lot about men because I'm a female.
Okay.
So we are watching you constantly day by day and that we need to really change our mindset. Who we want to be? What is going to be the world we live in? Like what? Back in the day when the woman was a traditional wife and mother, men were respecting them more because they actually did something.
Today, my guest is Karolina Pajączkowska, a former model dancer turned into journalist, driven by her passion for telling human stories. I believe this is going to be one of the best episodes of our show because I have known Karolina for more than 15 years and I'm so proud of her transformation. Thank you for watching and subscribing. Enjoy this episode. Karolina, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me here.
It's a pleasure. I insisted on having you because I know you are a professional and I'm sure we're going to have an amazing conversation.
Well, it's great to hear that. I mean, also, I'm really happy that because there was some time that we didn't connect for a while and we've known each other for like 15 years. It's amazing that the Warsaw has changed. Our professions has changed, ourselves, personalities has changed. So I feel this is going to be a great outcome of us after 15 years.
I have no doubt, right? So we're going to catch up in front of an audience.
Yeah.
So if someone, you know, clicks on this podcast and we have to convince them to stay, what will they learn today from your experience?
Oh.
Everything.
Oof. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like too cocky. I would love to answer your questions and let the people know that Warsaw and Poland and Polish people, women in particular, are very interesting creatures. So myself, I consider as a person that has been through a lot, you know, not only the career, like the show business-wise, but also as a personality, as a person, I grew until this very moment. And I'm also a mother. I'm also an entrepreneur. I am a journalist. And I feel I might have like offered audience some interesting stuff. So keep on asking and I'll tell you more.
I have no doubt about it. So my first question would be this. You transitioned from a modeling and dancing career to a very heavy, we would say, profession, which is reporting on geopolitical and social issues. So what was the reason or motivation behind that shift?
Well, I mean, there is actually no philosophy at all. It's I mean, you know, I was born as a pretty tall, skinny girl. And I look decent. So
oh, you look beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, as a teenager, you know, I've been going through those magazines, TV, you know, it's like 2000s, 2010, and it was just so popular to be influencer, model, dancer, whatever. So I just kick on my chances, and it's not like I've chose this. It's like more the, you know, the surrounding, the people around me, they wanted to see me as a model. Oh my God, you have such a long legs, you should be a model. Oh my God, you look so good in pictures, you should be a model. And it was not a career that I have chosen. It was something that was on a go. And I, you know, I was just like, okay, let's do it. So I got some money. I got some experience. But at the end of the day, vanity is not my thing. I love to act. And let's be honest and truthful. Like, I don't want to offend anyone. But modeling is not a true job. Most of the models who has their career, they do side hustles. Mm. They design, they do some like, you know, fitness stuff and everything. So modeling as itself, going to castings, going to shows, photo shoots, I mean, it's exhausting on the spot, but it's not something that is...
sustainable.
Yeah, that's not something that makes your mind expand. You know what I mean? It is very comfortable. It is very sexy. It is very nice. You know, you're popular. You do photos. You're there. You're that. I mean, it's nice, but it's not fulfilling my, like, it was not fulfilling my dreams. It was not fulfilling the hunger that I had of my mind.
So would you say, because we know that little girls, when they see the supermodels, you know, especially on this social, superficial social media era, they see, I don't know, Kendall Jenner or the supermodels.
Bella Hadid, yeah.
Victoria's Secret models, you know, with the wings. And they aspire to become this such women, such girls. So,
and what I say is in a contradict of this, what... Yeah, exactly.
Because you're like, well, this is not a career, isn't it?
So, because it's an easy job. It's an easy, you know, it's an easy thing to do. You're just beautiful. You look nice on a runway. You take some nice photos, and that's pretty much it.
What about the preparation to be, we understand that the modeling, you know, world is you have to be like have certain parameters, if I may call them that way, to have certain weight, certain, you know, height, everything. That's challenging.
It is, but how do you influence the world then? What is your input in the humankind? Apart from bringing like joy, there is not. I mean, there is probably some little one like entertainment and just, of course, every guy loves to see the Victoria's Secret runway, which is canceled, by the way, from years now. But modeling is not something that will change this world. And we are living now in a very unstable times. So it's not about the war that is going on in Ukraine. It's not about, you know, these geopolitical plays and games around the world. It's about that we need to really change our mindset. Who we want to be. What is going to be the world we live in? What about, you know, the environment? What about the AI? These are the questions that I was always very interested in. Not just the beauty and vanity of being a well-paid model.
So would you say that modeling had made you miserable to the point you had to change?
It did not make me miserable. It made me money. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful for this, but it was never fulfilling. So I felt empty. I felt happy because, you know, I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of company men were like, you know,
surrounding you.
Yeah, surrounding me, because it's a fancy job, but it's not something. So when you go to sleep, I'm like overthinker. So I go to sleep, I lay on my bed, and I'm thinking, what's going to be tomorrow? What's going to be in a year? How is going to, you know, work for me? And I've seen no future, because once I will get old, once I will get fat, once I will get pregnant, once I will, I don't know, like maybe decided to be something different. It was a stage. It was a path that I've followed for a few years. And then I was like, okay, there's a crossroad. I have to choose. And the choice was so obvious because humanity and, you know, the social issues and the world itself is so interesting that focusing on only modeling career or dancing career would be a waste of time, wouldn't it?
Now I see all the Instagram models coming after you.
Okay, do it.
Okay, so before we, you know, transition into the more, you know, deep, you know, subject, I want to, because from a male perspective, I, you know, and having worked in the modeling world, I would say, you know, running from my companies and, you know, I worked with models. I know it's a world, you know, filled with darkness. Can you tell me about the darkness of the modeling world?
You mean sex, drugs, craziness?
Well, define darkness as
it
you
is.
Will.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is very dark.
Well, to be more precise, because
with all what's going on with the, especially in the U.S., you know, the Epstein and all this, you know, the sexual harassment and that. I know it's some models, you know, they do things to, you know, get hired.
Side hustles.
Side hustles, as we define.
Yeah, of course, I've seen it. I mean, you see.
How do you contradict that and not contradict, but how do you fight that?
And that is a very important thing you have just said, that modeling is connected with a lot of dark, to be honest. Mm. So you have those models who pretend to be models, but in real life, they're doing something totally different. And I'm not going to even say what it is. I was always, I don't want to use too much word, like too strong word, but I was always disgusted by this. Mm. By this shady, dark, and dangerous place. I've seen this. I've probably even tried some of rock and roll style and life in my young adulthood. And as a person whom principles are the most important, that was just not for me. That was just not for me. I don't know how it looks, you know, the New York model industry or like, you know, Milan or something. I don't know this because I've never been there to do this. So I've seen this in Poland and I didn't like it.
So when did you start to realize that this is not a career for you, that I have to change? Because when did you start? Was it like around 2008?
Yeah, I was probably like 18 years old, so I was already an adult. I wasn't a teenager because my parents didn't allow me before that. So I was 18. So thankfully, I was, you know, mature enough to realize what is good and what is wrong. Because when you're 14 and when you start this and when you see drugs and alcohol and guys, older guys, then you might have some issues to choose the right path. Wow. So I was 18 by the time I started. I have had some nice contracts. I've done this fashion TV campaign. I was doing runways because I'm like 5'11", so it's...
Were you also Miss Poland, weren't you?
I've took part in some beauty pageants. It was Miss Polonia. And it took me 3 years to realize it is not what I want. And then, like I said before, it was this crossroad that I've said, okay, now you have to choose. So university and education was always my main goal. I was always super driven by these intelligent people who were experts in different, you know, different topics. And I said, okay, so I'm not an expert in a particular case, but I might have known a little bit about everything because I lived abroad, I've traveled, I tried some show business, I've tried this and that, so maybe I can be a journalist. So, you know, there is a difference between an expert and a journalist, that journalist knows a little bit about everything and the expert knows everything about one. So that is this, for me, this big difference, that I would love to talk with people and just travel around and show and experience this, you know, globe that we are in.
So walk me through the first, I'd say, weeks or even months that you had to go through this transition. Because we know transitioning is not easy. You're thinking, oh my God, I had this easy job. I was a model. I was making this much money, but I wasn't happy. And now I'm about to enter a completely different field, which is more serious, more impactful. Yeah. And so this, having been through a transition, I know how it's, you know, the depressions and the sleepless nights. So walk me through this transition from modeling to journalism.
I mean, there was not that big transition. I just had to take some internship as a journalist student. So I just went to my hometown. Little hometown, 50,000 people, Radomsko. Say hello to them.
Domsko?
Radomsko. Okay. Yeah. And there was this, you know, small TV station that was broadcasting from, let's say, the area of maybe 200,000 people. And honestly, I just stepped in to this network and I said, hey, I would love to be a journalist. Could you give me a chance? And they've known me because, you know, obviously I, at the time, I was already maybe not a celebrity, but someone that was recognizable in the media and everything. So they were like, okay, and but what do you want to do here? I said, I want to be a reporter. And they were like, but we don't pay you money for this. Because, you know, the budget was like, it was, oh my God.
There was no
like,
budget.
It was, first of all, it was like 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. So, you know, the money were different back then. But also there was like, you know, we don't have a budget for internship. You can do it like for free. We can teach you how to do it. And it will be like a border. You know, we would exchange experience. So I said, okay, let's do it. Because I, you know, back then I didn't need money. Because money is something that is great. It gives you possibilities and it gives you beautiful places, clothing and everything, travels. But it's narrowing your mind. Because once you're money driven, it's so hard to be a passion driven. So instead of choosing by your brain, you have to choose by your heart. That was always my goal. That was always my motto, to choose by my heart, not by my brain. And I said, okay, let's do it. And I remember myself working there for a few months and editing, directing, you know, reportages and doing some vox pops on the streets, going to like political meetings. And I fall in love. I absolutely fall in love. And because it was not being paid, I was not being paid. So it was even more fun because for me, it was like an adventure, you know, like once you take a backpack and you just go for unknown and then you like sleep over into different places. It's a craziness. It was this moment that was so crucial and it was so groundbreaking for me because I was driven by my passion, not by my mind and my money and by other things that were probably limiting me. So choosing by your passion, by your heart is the key to achieve a success.
So if someone is going through a transition right now, which would you tell them? If someone is doing a job and they are unhappy.
Well, of course, it depends how much money you have, how your life looks. Because, you know, if you have a husband or a wife and children, you obviously need to, you know, make the ends meet. But if you have a space to get a little bit crazy and do it, I mean, you have only one life. It is your life. You're going to go through this life. If you will not risk and take a chance, you will always regret that. So for everyone out there who are thinking about quitting job, doing something for passion, let's do it. Like, do it. Honestly, you might fail. And it is natural to fail. I failed so many times. I wasn't the best model. I didn't want the Miss Pageant beauty contest. I've lost so many times. I know what the failure is. I smell it. I felt it. And I was only always like this. Okay, next. Thank you, next. It's the power of your mind to fall and then get together and then go back and then fail again. This cycle is a natural cycle of life. Once you fail, you know how it's like. You are more humble. You're more devoted. You're more hardworking for the next time. And then you will file, okay, I can lay down. I don't mind to lay down. I don't mind for people to say, oh, you're a loser. Like, oh my God, I don't mind this. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I want in my mind and in my heart. Because it's not like it's the end of a story. This is just the next chapter.
Beautifully said. So we're going to close the topic on the modeling thing. What lessons did you take from your modeling career to the journalism world? It has to be something that you said, okay. Because often when you transition from a career to another, you have a baggage with you. You have experience with you. And I'm trying to ask because I know because you've been reporting on the war in Ukraine and in a male-dominated, heavily male-dominated, you know, field. Yeah. I'm assuming you have faced a lot of challenges.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, I know a lot of, know a lot about men because I'm a female.
Okay.
So we are watching you constantly day by day. And I'm also a mother of a son. So, well, modeling was good in order to obtain a certain mindset that, you know, world is mostly based on power and sex and beauty and fake and everything. So I've already known this dark side of a life and world. And I could have discovered something totally different. Human stories, because you said about the war and you said about reporting and everything. I am very devoted to a human story. And the more, you know, tragic it is sometimes, the more meaningful it is. I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, you need to be in this very dark place or you have to experience a war in order to become a better person. But sometimes when you have nothing, you have everything. We are in this crazy times when we run. We chase. What do we chase for? Money, career, guys, girls. You know, when you have nothing, the only thing that is left is your personality. It's your state of mind, how to survive, how to, you know, provide your kids with some food on a table, how to get a water. You know, it's so basic. And at this moment, when I realized that the basic needs and instincts are the most beautiful thing in the world, that was the moment I became happy without this, you know, show business. Just true people, real stories, pure emotions. And that is, for this day, the most amazing part of my life. To have this chance to listen to people, talk to people, you know, to tell their stories. And that is something that everyone needs to experience.
So walk us through.
I'm happy you do now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, listening to stories. It's about listening to stories. Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is everything. People connect, you know, through storytelling.
Yeah, they do.
And that's the whole idea of this podcast. You know, we want to tell stories, share stories. Of Poles and, you know, expats alike. Because like you said in the beginning, Polish people are wonderful people, interesting characters, and the world need to hear this, to hear their stories.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm that interesting, but I mean, thanks for saying that.
Yeah, I think you are. You're just being humble, Karolina.
And that was a lesson I've taken from the past and from what I have experienced as a reporter, as a journalist. You see, this is why I've quit on modeling, because modeling was not literally making me a better person. It was making me sometimes even a worse person. And journalism was something that created this Karolina that you see right now.
I am proud of you. We're all proud of you, of your change. Okay, so while doing research on you, I read that your family had been deported during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Right. And so how that experience impacted your way of telling stories?
Yeah.
Or delivering stories.
Exactly. That's I've always assumed that there is some depth in me. And once I find out that my family, who then back then it was my great grandparent parents who lived back then in this Ukraine lands, and they were farmers. Big successful farmers. And when the Second World War came and, you know, Stalin decided to literally just kill most of Polish farmers who were successful, and they were deported to Siberia. And once I found out this, and then, you know, comparing this to me reporting on Ukraine and on the, you know, the war and atrocities committed back there, I felt like the story has been complete. You know, the puzzles has finally came together. Because it is, I feel, and that's what I believe also, is that the genes, you know, what we are built of and our DNA, it is very coherent with our past, our great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, and stuff like this. It is, DNA is nothing but a storyteller. And my life was apparently forecast to be something bigger than, you know, than just being a regular human beings, because my great-grandparents, my great-grandmother didn't survive the Siberia, but my great-grandparent, he came back with his daughter. And I mean, first of all, they survived, like after 5 years of super hard work, lager, and absolutely extreme conditions. They were put into the train and they've lost their home because they could not come back to Ukraine anymore because there was no Ukraine. There was, first of all, there was a Soviet Union. The Ukraine was taken, driven into the Soviet Union, and they could not have come to their home place anymore. So they were just taken, driven to some random place. There was a train station, and they were like, off you go. And they had to build everything from scratch. They lost their money, they lost their land, they lost their families, their loved ones, and everything. And this story, once I've heard from my family, was a game changer. Like, it opened my eyes, like, oh my God, this is me. This is me, like, no matter how hard it is, no matter how crazy the world, what atrocities are being committed on you or on someone else's, you always have to get through this. You have to get through this. Because we are this DNA storytellers. We have to pass the story for the next generation. And we have to respect the previous generation, our ancestors. I respect them so deeply. And this is why I went to Ukraine. Because I wanted to feel. I wanted to feel how it's like to be under this indescribable danger.
And this was during the war, like the beginning of the war, 2 years ago, right?
It was 2 years ago. When the war broke, I was in a studio hosting two special broadcasts from here, Warsaw. And, you know, it was, I remember every second of that moment. It was indescribable. For me, everything has changed. The fact that there is a war in Europe, but not, you know, like a domestic war, like in Balkans back then in the 90s. There is a true international war here in Europe.
It's just next door.
It's next door. And we were so vain with our lives. We thought, oh, just the internet, you know, social media. I want to be an influencer. I want to do this and fashion and everything. And then bang. Nope, you're not. I've met some of the most beautiful souls back there in Ukraine. Their stories is something, I know it's hard. I know, you know, when you sit on your couch after work, you don't want to listen to those stories. It's obvious. I understand this. But then for me, as a, let's say, person who connects the viewers and the human stories tellers, I felt this great responsibility of showing not only, you know, how it's influenced their lives, but also how it might influence our lives once the war will approach here. Because it might, right? You don't know. We don't know what's going to be happen tomorrow. We don't know what's out the door. We don't know, you know, it's such an unstable times. And my great-grandparents, they've been through this. And they managed to survive. I feel if there would be a war, of course, I, you know, pray every day not to, because I have a son, I have a huge commitment to this homeland, and that would be probably like the worst case scenario ever in the universe. But if there would be a war, I would do everything to survive. to make me survive this. And then, as my family did, because they wrote a book about Siberia, about what they've been through. So I would probably just write down every single day how it's like and then just make a movie about or documentary about this. So I would be a storyteller to pass it to another generation, to my son. So my DNA would be just soaked with this truthful stories of fighting people here.
Okay, so I cannot help but start to notice that in my, let's say, social circle, even the most, you know, intellectually advanced people.
Oh, that's so well said.
Yeah. I start to notice that they are bringing up the topic of war. Is war coming to Poland?
Are you asking me?
I am asking you.
No. Well, I'm not an expert. I told you. I know a little bit about everything, but, well, if you're asking me.
Because you are, you know, you're specialized. You're an expert in geopolitical issues. I want to have your feeling.
It's not like I'm an expert. I witnessed a lot of, you know, events and elections, political turbulences and turmoils. So as a journalist.
Yes, as a journalist.
I feel that the threat is real. But what is even more important, that I feel that we are not taking the risk seriously. And that really bothers me. That concerns me a lot. Every day I think about the fact that, are we ready for what's coming? What, like, do you even know what to do in case of an outbreak of a war? Do you even know what to do? Where would you hide? What would happen with your mortgage? Would you leave? Would you draft to the military? What would you do? You don't know that. These are the questions that need to be answered ASAP. But everyone keeps on saying, oh, you're just, it's scary. I don't want to hear the scary story. Can we just focus on TikTok? Get ready with me. You know what? So, of course, people, they will always choose something that is more fluffier, happier, and joyful. But are we living in planet Earth? Are we living in our dreams?
So should we prepare? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How do we prepare psychologically and physically? I know there have been some articles that here in Warsaw, the mayor has been like testing the bunkers.
The bunkers,
yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is true. I mean, the situation.
Hey boys, it's real.
Yeah. I mean,
wouldn't the UN save our ass or the US? I love Poland. So, I don't wanna go back to Morocco. No, but.
Well, I mean, I heard that, and we've met this friend of ours who is selling houses in Spain, and he said he's woof out of the top.
True. Actually, yesterday as well, like this guy said the same. I was at the gym, and it's like, this is the best times to be. He's making millions in Spain selling houses, flipping houses.
Yeah. Well, that can tell you a lot about approach of people, right? No. I want to escape, but how are you going to face it? Oh, I will leave. Well, so first of all, let's start from scratch.
Yep. Let me bring my...
It's not... There is always this few percent that the future will be amazing and everyone will love each other and there will be no war and there will be always peaceful situation like for the decades back then. So we have some few percentage of this. But there is also this majority of faith that says we should take under consideration things like do I have a basic training, military training? Do I have some monies in gold? Do I have some investments that will provide me safety? Are there people who I can go to while there will be very dangerous, right? is there a bunker? What will happen with my children if you have some? What our government will do? How are we going to act? And so on. I mean, so basic questions.
A lot of people cannot do that. Let's say the normal people, they don't have gold, yeah. They don't have nothing. So
well,
they will die.
Let's start with the most imminent part of a war is shelling and being under constant threat. This, of course, we can manage by investing in the special Patriots battery and everything, so the sky can be saved by the systems. But then we are living in, you know, 10 floors apartments, 10 floor tenants. And let's check up on a basement. Do we have a basement? Is there a parking lot that we can be safe? Is there a nearest metro station that can provide us shelter? Is there a bag that we can prepare? So in the worst case scenario, we just grab the bag and then we leave. You know, medical equipment, some money or investment, like I said, gold, diamonds, whatever. Map, because there is a pretty big chance that the proxy war will bring us the internet chat down.
Yeah.
Map, you know, and some food that has the long term of use. So, I mean, very baby steps, just being really aware of the worst case scenario. It's, you know, I don't want to say like, oh my God, you have to become this prepper who will be digging up in this woods and then making some shelter. No, it's just like very basic stuff. Where do I live? What is the closest place to go? Who I'm going to call to? What if there will be no gasoline on the station? What I'm going to do? You know, these kind of things, like very basics. Can I help someone that is dying? Can I help someone that is wounded, seriously wounded? And everything. So myself, for the past 2 years, that's what I do. I read about, and I also train, and I also invest. So that if the worst day comes, I will be like, okay, go.
This takes me back to the, you know, pandemic, before the pandemic, when they were giving us advice like buy rice, pasta, and a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah,
toilet paper.
You remember? That was the toilet paper crisis.
So let's switch from the heavy topic of war and let's talk about something more
down to earth.
Inspiring. This episode is sponsored by Meknes, a brand where Moroccan craftsmanship meets modern luxury. For our Warsaw Confidential listeners, you can enjoy 15% off your purchase by using the code Warsaw15 at checkout, meknes.com. Thank you for supporting our show, for listening, watching, and subscribing.
Fire.
So, as a woman in media, how do you aim to empower girls and women who look up to you?
So, first of all, I'm trying to be an example of a person that is very success-driven and very growth-driven. So everything that I do needs to have a meaning. Whether is it expanding your brain capacity, you know, by learning, by teaching, by reading inspirational books or traveling, because that's my biggest passion, probably to travel and to explore the world, because it's so diverse, it is so interesting, it's so different. As you know, like, we are here now, you are here now because you've taken the risk and you left your life, old life, and you came to Europe and you came to Poland, that probably 15 years back sounds like a tropical and unknown place to live. So we need to step out of our comfort zone. So what I'm trying to show for women out there is that your life is not prescribed. You are writing your own story. You're a storyteller. So you have to be devoted to different topics, to different hobbies, to different works. And all of them need to be meaningful and fulfill you as not only as a woman, but also as a human. So I'm, first of all, I'm a human, then I'm a woman, then I'm a mother, and then I'm a journalist. So I'm showing this story to others, girls out there who are thinking if beauty is enough. No, it's not enough. Beauty is just an additional thing that you were born with, probably, or you can add, you know, some makeup and hair and everything. This is just the package. So you know, because you're a designer, so the products need to be neat and nice, but the quality is the most important. You do quality bags. So transferring this to your life, you know that the look is not enough. And that's, I feel, that is my story and that is my contribution to people, to girls and women out there. Just to be as diverse and as interesting as you can be, not to shell yourself in what you know, but to explore, try different things, and keep on hunger. Like, keep on being, like Steve Jobs said,
stay hungry.
Stay hungry, stay foolish. Mm? Stay hungry, stay foolish. So I'm open to new experiences. I'm open to new people, to new advantages. And that's what I keep on suggesting women. So as an influencer, I'm trying to pass good habits and open-mindedness.
So in an era of superficial social media, how do you stay true to the message you're trying to deliver?
Oh, well, by my action, by what I do. Well, I'm 33 years old, so I feel it's just the beginning of my story. But even though, till this date, I feel I've achieved a lot. And I've been model, I've been mother, I've been journalist, I've been an entrepreneur, and I'm reinventing myself right now. So I have taken the risk of being a YouTuber. Now, I'm creating content for people, women, who would love to get some knowledge about the world, politics, about international affairs. And I'm creating a content that is very meaningful, in my opinion, of course, and that is crucial to become a wiser person, wiser woman. And I'm a mother as well. I've always emphasized the fact that motherhood is something that expands your horizon so dramatically. Because once you become a mother, then you know you can achieve everything. You can obtain everything. Because, hey, you just gave a birth to a human being. And feminism nowadays says, oh, do whatever you wanted to do. Be whoever you wanted to be. And it's not like I disgrace feminism in this particular way that is being popularized nowadays, but I'm adding something deeper. So what is feminism? Feminism is all about well-being of a woman. It's all about expanding your possibilities and not focusing only on yourself. Feminism nowadays is connected to abortion, to this very popular, you know, do whatever you want to do with your body, you know, this OnlyFans content and everything, you can do whatever. So it's not the type of feminism I am
after.
I am after bigger values. I am after showing that feminism is not just a closed mind and being happy with your body. It is a very meaningful mission of proving men that we are equal to them, not by the fact that we say so, but we prove so. You know what I mean? So it is very popular now. We would love to earn that much money as guys do. And we need it and we want it and period. What do we contribute in order to obtain this? So guys were always taking a lot of chances. They were risking. They were bringing this, you know, food to the table. And they were taking care of a lot of things. If you needed some help, the guy was there. So me, I'm showing I can renovate my home. I can drive my car. I can pay my bills. I can raise my son. I can go to war. And feminism is, it doesn't stop only on you. It stops in... So feminism is not a label. It's the insight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go around and say, woo, look at me, I am feminist. I prove by my everyday actions that I am a true, a meaningful feminist because I take care of women and I encourage them to be better people, better person.
So what about the traditional roles of men and women, let's say, in a relationship? Some women, they say, okay, you can be feminist, you can pay your bill. If you go on a date, you share the bill. But at the same time, some women, they would just let the man pay. I'm talking about this as a smaller, you know, example to talk about the bigger picture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind
traditional. What about the traditional values? It's
I don't mind the traditional outlook. If you would love to be a person who is going to be taken care of by someone else, do it, go for it. I mean, it's your choice, it's your life by the end of the day, like we said before. But challenge yourself a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, just make a little bit more effort. It's so convenient to say, the guy needs to pay, the guy needs to be taken care of, the guy needs to do this, and he needs to be successful. What about you? What is your input in this partnership? Partnership. This is the perfect equation of women and men. Partnership. So we are both parents. We take care of our children the same way. We work as hard, both of us, as hard as men, female, and everything. We take care of the household. We take care of ourselves. It's not about being this lady, like, you know, back in 19th century where, oh, I have this headache. Can you please bring me some water? It's not about this. It's about stepping up and saying, oh, I have this headache, but okay, that's not going to stop me. I have to push on. I have to keep on going because it's my life and I have to be the director of my life. I will not give the leading role to some men just because the society expects this from me, in Poland especially. I mean, the traditional family here in Poland as well as in Morocco is very well-based because it's convenient. You know what I mean? It's so convenient. On the opposite, you have the feminists who are screaming and demanding. Like, girl, I mean, why are you demanding something from men and not giving nothing instead? Like, this is partnership. So the perfect combination of a man and a woman is a partnership where both parties are contributing.
So why do you think that feminism gets such a bad rep? Why do we see it this way? You know, we have some men,
yeah,
or even women. I would say recently there's a trend.
I'll tell you why.
There's a trend in social media that I see recently, and I see these women, they are giving advice, they are completely destroying the feminists. You know, they're like going after them. It's like a woman should be in the kitchen, this and that, and you know. So why do you think feminism has such a bad rep?
I'll tell you why. So we women, we some of us have really big mouths. We say a lot of things, but there are no actions behind us. So guys are furious because they hear, all they heard is, I want this, I need this, you need to stop this and give me this. So feminism nowadays stops when there are needs of a woman. And that's wrong. Because the feminist is not about women only. Feminism is about well-being of a humankind. Because it has been said numerous of times that the future of the world lies on women. Because we are giving birth to people. We are giving the children. So being selfish and thinking only about fulfilling yourself is the thing that furious men, because they see this demanding position and they see this very selfish. We are using feminism for our convenience while we should be using for our future. So not expect and not demand, but to cooperate. If we would love men to treat us better, then raise a son who will be a better man for his future wife. If you expect your boss to give you a pay raise, make him respect you. Not scream, not demand. Make him to see you. Make a statement. And sometimes it's better to say less and act more.
Beautifully said.
You think so? So how is your outlook on womanhood and partnership the situation now? I mean, you have Instagram. You go through your Instagram and you see the photos of a beautiful woman who needs to be taken care of. And this is like one big advertisement. Take care of me. Give me money. Give me a perspective. How selfish is this? And there is no... I mean, I felt like back in the day when the woman was a traditional wife and mother, men were respecting them more because they actually did something to show that, yes, I am the one you need to be listening to. I am the one you need to be considering in your life, in your plans and everything. And there are numerous of examples of successful men who will tell you directly, success is not only my part. There was this woman, there was this wife, mother, who made me who I am. And that is the most powerful. So for me to be 100% called as a feminist, probably in 20 years' time, as my son will say, you know what? I respect you. I respect women because my mother taught me to. She showed me how to be an equal part of the society. And the labels will be gone then. You know, in 20 years' time, the labels will be gone. If you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're non-binary or whatever, the labels will be gone. The only thing that will matter is actually what you do, not what you say, not how you look. It's what you do. So the times, challenging times make challenging people. Hard times make hard
people.
You know? Yeah.
Tough man. What about radical feminism?
Oh,
what's your views on that?
I feel like, you know, it's better not to say anything. Because I'm not the person that would like to undermine females. I'm just disappointed. Every day, every time I open TikTok or Instagram, I'm so disappointed. Because it's not like men won this war. It's that we gave it up.
Okay, so as a foreigner living here in Poland, I see that the Polish woman is a fighter. And I wish that sometimes that my female countrymen, you know, women back home would fight as the Polish women fight here in Poland. Why is that? Why such quality?
I don't know. You see, you've used the word fighter. I don't know if we should be fighters. I think we should be very respectful and very, you know.
But you have to fight for your rights, aren't you?
I've never experienced the need of fighting. I never had any problems that I had to fight for myself. But I have experienced many times how my look and the way I love to present myself. Because, you know, obviously I have my own entourage. That's my style. That's who I am. It's very coherent. It's very complicit at this point. So I had to prove many times, not fight, but to prove that people are wrong about me. So I believe that's what we Polish women do. They prove people wrong. So you come to Poland, country that was under communism regime for decades. Women were struggling. Men were drinking a lot. And still they do. It's this drinking philosophy of life. You drink when you're sad. You drink when you're happy. You drink when you're divorced, when you're single, when you're married. You just drink. And women had to take in this life in their hands. And that's why they became a fighter, because they had to. It's not like they had the choice, because, you know, you had to bring the food to your table. You had to make your ends meet. You had to raise your child. And I feel that's also why people and women nowadays are so tired of this and wanted to be more selfish, because they were really expended to the limits. So now there is no need to fight. There is need to prove people wrong, men wrong. So men say, oh my God, you went to this war to show off. You're at the war Barbie. And I'm like, seriously? Okay, so let's switch places. If you are so cocky, go for it. Go for it. I mean, while you're still in Poland, while I'm there on the front line, you think you're better? Oh, the male journalists, they are more successful. Because with me, the first 5 minutes, I need to convince people that I'm there because I have a bigger purpose. Because men, obviously, they always have bigger purpose, right? With us, it's always you want to show off. You want to make a career and everything. So that was the worst thing that I've experienced in my life so far, that I had to prove that there is something more beyond the body. And that is very challenging. It took me years to understand that it's just the way it is. It's how the world is designed, that men are respected straight away, and you have to work a little bit harder.
Which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That pushes you.
In this particular case, in this particular meaning, I am a fighter. But I base not on the power, I base on respect, mutual respect. So there, a lot of people approached me and said, you changed my view on women. You changed my perspective on who I thought you are. Because you came out of this box of just pretty little face, nice body, and
I think the question they're trying to ask, why are you doing this? Why are you doing all of this when you can just, you know, be a model, a pretty little Barbie?
Yeah, because I would love my DNA to be programmed as a successful woman, successful human being, and someone to... I think there is this... remember when the first astronaut stepped on the moon, he said that this is this little step for me, but great step for humanity. So I would love one day some people to write, like, maybe not a book, but maybe like a poem about me, that there was this girl that made her statement and she was here. She made this life meaningful.
So what advice would you give to aspiring journalists, female journalists?
Female journalists. Oh, girl.
Here we go.
Get ready, because it's going to be a hard road. Okay. Let's put it in percentage. So 80% freaking hard job, freaking hard work every day, constantly proving how much you're worth, expanding your knowledge, talking to a different people, gathering information, 80%. 10% is who you're going to meet on your road, who you're going to get along with. Because, well, I have experienced very sad moments as a young journalist, that some men expected more from me than I was able to give them. And it was not intelligence that they were looking for. So I was harassed. And that is something I deal with for this day. Because it made me doubt of who I am. And the moment when my boss started to act inappropriate towards me was the moment when I shut myself. I became sterile, you know? This shell. And it really hurt me. So 10% is who you're going to meet on the road. I had bad people on the go. And I had to struggle. But I never fell for it. I mean, I never went with the easy path. You can if you want to. But I will never be able to look in myself in a mirror. And then the last 10% is pure luck. It's pure luck. Because you never know what people would love. As a journalist, TV journalist to be more precise, the audience just needs to love you. But you never know what the audience loves. I mean, we see those YouTubers, journalists, whatever, and you're thinking like, oh my God, like, I wasn't there to like. But people love them. And that's the luck. I don't know. Is it maybe personality or maybe attitude? I don't know. But that's this luck that you need. So 80% hard work, 10% people on the go, and then 10% luck. That's the perfect recipe for being a journalist.
You are currently writing a book. Is that correct? Could you tell us a little bit more about your book and what you're trying to achieve?
So as a part of reinventing myself, because I've quit my job on TV, and now I'm starting my YouTube career or social media career, being more influential, being more like a coach, like a speaker. So for women, of course. So I'm thinking about writing my story about my life, my childhood. Because I was raised in the 90s. That was a wild time here in Poland, of course. After transformation, you know, hyperinflation, economy crisis, my parents were forced to move abroad. So we became migrants. So I know how do you feel, but with this particular difference that they were forced to leave. You know, it's not like they chose to leave. They had to leave in order to make money. So we moved to United Kingdom, and that was a hard time, you know, being an outcast at some point. I was just this little girl from Central Europe. Like, I don't even know if British, they knew where the Poland is. So I was this outcast that people wanted me to believe that I am one. But my mind was always a winner, you know, because my parents, they left everything. And they shift to a better life, providing me better life at the same time. So I had to use this chance and not to sit and cry over myself like, oh God, I'm this migrant. Nobody likes me. Like, what am I going to do? I don't have this accent. I don't have this and that and whatever. Like, it's all in your head. I had to fight my own fears. And once I did it, I remember myself reading this book, Secret.
The Secret?
The Attraction. Secret, the Secret Attraction. I remember myself writing notes and putting them under my pillow with my dreams and envisioning myself as a person with success. And this journey took me quite a time. And that's what I wanted to write about this journey, that even from the worst circumstances, you can end up as a person of fulfillment. And I would love to devote my current days, years, to tell a little bit more about myself. Because, you know, when you're a journalist, you don't speak about yourself. You speak about others. So I feel like this is the time I have growth, and I will write my own type of version of a story.
I'm looking forward to read this book, so write it in, because you speak a lot of languages, so I hope you're going to translate it to all these languages.
I hope this will be, well, first of all, I have to find a publisher, and then hopefully sell some pieces. Maybe someone will be interested of how I became who I am now, from this 90s girl, little town, migrant stuff and everything, and this wild life of a model and then mother and then journalist. And well, it's me now.
Carolina, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me once again. Thank you for listening to my story. It's such a heartwarming moment that I can finally speak up. I was silent for so many years because I never wanted to take away that voice from my, like from the people I was telling the stories about. So I'm so happy I can finally have my own voice and tell my story.
You're welcome anytime here. Thank you. Warsaw Confidential is all yours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Warsaw Confidential podcast. If you've enjoyed our journey together and wish to support us further, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leaving us a review. Your feedback not only motivates us, but also helps in growing our community. As a token of our appreciation, we've partnered with Meknes, a brand where Moroccan craftsmanship meets modern luxury. Exclusively for Warsaw Confidential listeners, Meknes is offering a 15% discount on their exquisite collection of leather goods. To claim your piece of luxury, visit meknes.com and use the code WARSAW15 at checkout. Thank you once again for supporting both the Warsaw Confidential podcast and Meknes.